listenership and all that. What the hell was I talking about? Movement conservatives. And how, you know, and again, I want to point out that the conservatives are going to try to pull this thing about how, you know, well, it was, you know, it really wasn't conservatism that failed. It was because the conservatives that we had put.
This is the Quality News Network. The World Bank meets again behind closed doors today to discuss the resignation of its president, Paul Wolfowitz. CNN reports Wolfowitz will step down perhaps as early as today, but he says he will not do so under a cloud of scandal. In Gaza, the most recent truce between Hamas and Fatah lasted but a few hours. Gunfire this morning scattered a funeral procession, killing 2 and wounding 14. At least 46 people were killed this week, threatening to bring down the shaky unity government formed 2 months ago. The Jerusalem Post reports a 25-year-old Palestinian has been arrested for plotting to assassinate Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The Palestinian physician is from the Gaza Strip and works for the humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders. In Washington, talks continue between Congress and the White House in an attempt to craft a bipartisan agreement to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. All involved say they want to be able to put a final war appropriations bill on the president's desk by Memorial Day. Diplomats from the U.S. and Iran will meet May 28th to discuss security in Iraq. The negotiations will take place in Baghdad. Today, trains are crossing through the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea for the first time in 50 years. Restoration of the rail link is another step in the reconciliation process between the two countries. Polls have opened in Algeria. As many as 18 million Algerians will be voting in parliamentary elections today. Diplomats in Europe and the U.S. are watching carefully. The resource-rich country is considered a key ally in the battle against Islamic extremism. In Washington, outgoing British Prime Minister Tony Blair is making his last official visit to the White House. He and President Bush are expected to discuss climate change, poverty in Africa, and trade pacts. Their most important conversations, however, will revolve around the Iraq War, largely thought to have cost Blair his job. In Paris, French President Nicolas Sarkozy today appointed a moderate as his prime minister. Inaugurated yesterday, right-wing Sarkozy has promised France dramatic social and economic reforms. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Marine biologists are attempting to use whale song to lure an injured humpback whale and her calf out of a Sacramento canal and back out into the open water of the Pacific coast. Both of the animals appear to be severely wounded by a boat's propeller. A $22.5 billion lawsuit was filed today against a New York bank by the Russian government. The Russian Federal Customs Service accuses the Bank of New York of money laundering for two Russians during the late 1990s. The FBI and IRS are also involved in the probe. Amazon announced it will launch an online digital music store with songs that are not encumbered with anti-piracy software. That means customers can play the tracks on any music machine, including iPods, and can burn them into CDs as many times as the customer wants. Fast food chain Jack in the Box posted 25% boost in quarterly profits. On Capitol Hill, the House Committee investigating the British Petroleum oil spill on Alaska tundra last year says budget cuts were to blame. Internal BP documents indicate managers were under pressure to save money, even though the oil company was making record profits. Corroded pipes were simply ignored. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.94 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right. Wake up. It's morning. Get out of bed. It's time for the jumping jacks. One, two. One side. Let a rabbit through. That was Warner Brothers. Anyway, welcome aboard the Cup of Joe Show, everybody. I think I'm just going to pick up where I left off yesterday. Oh, the plans for the Bush invasion of Australia. Oh, my God. It just gets better. And I'll tell you what. The Australians ain't happy. Well, at least the Sydney Siders aren't. Welcome aboard, folks. Cup of Joe Show. And John Fox sitting in again as Joe still continues to get himself organized and settled into his new place. He's moved in as far as I know. He did pop into the chat room the other day, but, you know, waiting for an announcement any day now. Who knows? He could just, like, pop back up live Monday. And I'm missing Joe. I kind of like hearing him as I'm getting ready to go on. Wakes me up, you know. But anyway, I was talking yesterday about the fact that the APEC, the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference, is being held in Sydney in September, and I mentioned some of the security brouhaha because Shrebo's coming. The cellular phone network jamming technology helicopter that will hover over his motorcade wherever he goes. The cordoning off of public areas, most of downtown Sydney. The shutting down of three downtown railway stations for three solid days. Well, there's more where that came from. And what's interesting is that the two things that I'm going to read from today, they're both from right-wing papers, and the comment threads are just outrageous. From Murdoch's Telegraph, no less. This just utterly astounds me that this would be coming from the Daily Telegraph. And I mean, we're talking, you know, it's the same thing as the bloody Daily News, you know, in New York, you know, same style paper. It's tabloid paper. It comes out every day, and you know, whatever the outrage is, small or large, gets the play. Now, all these plans for when these rich economic leaders descend on Sydney in September, this is just like unbelievable. And like I said, the Australians on both sides of politics are not happy about this. But from the Daily Telegraph from today, Sydney, an APEC battleground. And this is where it gets even better than yesterday. And better, I mean worse. you following me so far? Okay. Heavily armed SAS troops could be ordered onto Sydney streets to maintain control during the APEC summit later this year, a military law expert has warned. This move, which includes orders for the troopers to shoot to kill, as further fanning of the ire of Daily Telegraph readers already up in arms over what they say is deprivation of civil liberties. But Premier Morris Yema maintained the added firepower was merely a sign of the times. And I guarantee you, this is not what Morris wants. He doesn't want... If he had his way, this thing wouldn't be here. And he kind of said so in the beginning, but he's been smacked back into line. In this piece, they ask the readers to say, what do you think of it? Readers are torn between anger, that phones may be blocked, trains disrupted, and police powers increased, and pride that Sydney has been chosen. Join the debate below, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get into some of these comments, because the comments are just absolutely golden. University of Western Sydney Associate Professor Michael Head said new powers, including expanded rights to shoot to kill, were given to the Australian Defence Force in last year's military call-out legislation. He said he was disturbed by last year's changes to the Commonwealth Defence Act, which enhanced the government's power to mobilise troops. Interesting, the army against the citizens. Can you say police state? The troops have considerably wider and legally protected rights to use lethal force, Professor Head said. Unprecedented security will be enforced in Sydney for a week of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meetings, which will climax on September 7th, 8th, and 9th, a three-day orgasm with the Leaders' Summit. Professor Head, having climax at the end of one sentence, and Professor Head in the... Never mind. Professor Head said the ADF had recently announced plans to use heavily armed SAS commandos to protect government leaders and officials. The call out of troops during APEC was yet another example of the creeping militarization of Australia, he said. Any perceived security threat to the APEC participants, whether an alleged terrorist plot or a political protest, could see the heavily armed SAS tactical assault group called out on Sydney's streets. So much for the lucky country, huh? So much for laid-back Australia. So much for, let's have a beer, mate. Oh. Mr. Yema, who's our state premier, said the state government had been forced to put in place security measures that would guarantee the safety of the visitors and citizens of Sydney. Protecting the citizens from the citizens, is that how this works? With this global event comes inconvenience which we don't like but is necessary and a reflection of the times we live in, he said. The Prime Minister or two authorizing ministers could now order troops into the streets if they thought critical infrastructure or a Commonwealth interest was threatened by domestic violence, said Mr. Head. Oh, this is all just so creepy. While visitors will be allowed to enter the areas, they will do so at the risk of personal searches and being under constant surveillance by ASIO and counterterrorism police. Another thing that I don't know if this article actually mentions, you can be searched without cause. They can just search anyone. The Daily Telegraph can reveal special legislation will be introduced to New South Wales Parliament within 2 weeks to allow for the extraordinary APEC laws. One of the declared zones will be the entire CBD block bordered by Macquarie Street, King Street, George Street, and Circular Quay to the north. That's a big area, folks. This area contains government offices and many hotels which APEC officials will be expected to stay at. This is one of those times I still wish I was working in entertainment, because who knows, I could have ended up running sound at some, you know, kiss-up events. But then again, probably all the audio companies would know better than to put me there. Or maybe one of the cool ones, one I can think of, might intentionally put me there. Maybe I should go back to work. Oh, Frank! Got any gigs coming up? Anyway, folks, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network, fighting militaristic governments everywhere. America's liberal voice. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now, between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, remember that one? That was big in the 60s, back when gas was like 30 cents a gallon, a house 22 grand, cigarettes a quarter a pack. But the packs came with a warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. It proved to be right. Music's changed, and so have prices. Gas is almost $3 a gallon. A decent house costs a quarter of a million, and a pack of cigarettes is about $5. But now, there's another cancer warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer, whether you smoke or not. Radon is an invisible, odorless gas that seeps into your home from underground. The only way to know if you have high levels of radon in your home is to have your home tested. The U.S. Surgeon General recommends it.
Call 1-800-693-5343 or visit radon.ozenet.ksu.edu. Sponsored by KDHE and the Kansas Radon Program at K-State.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox keeping the chair and the microphone warm and just picking up where I left off. Now, the chat room has been responding to my ranting so far, and Ray makes a comment saying, does it sound like another 9/11 opportunity with all the possible confusion caused by the jammers and everything? Well, you know what? You just kind of made me think of something that I hadn't thought of. Maybe this is part of the reason of why they're holding this thing in Sydney as opposed to Canberra, the capital. Because then all of this attention and possible threat could be at Parliament House instead. And, you know, Sydney is Australia's New York. It's our Manhattan. I hadn't really kind of, you know, I've been thinking about the fact that it's just stupid to have it here. But I hadn't actually thought about the concept of why maybe they didn't want to have it in Canberra. And, you know, also it plays really, really well with the fear factor. See, we have to take all these measures because it's such a trying time, says Chief Poodle Johnny Howard. So, talking about the declared zones in the CBD, Central Business District, it will be marked with a series of police checkpoints through which the public will have to be cleared. Others have yet to be revealed, although a giant security triangle with its three points being the Opera House, Government House, and the Sydney Convention Center will cover the city. This is a huge portion of Sydney, I'm telling you. The airport corridor is also likely to be cleared a zone, which is the pathway between Sydney and the Sydney Airport, which is down south. This is on top of as yet unspecified lockdown zones, which will be off limits to the public. Prime Minister John Howard and New South Wales Premier Morris Yema met in Sydney yesterday, feigning a mood of friendship and unity to discuss security measures for the meeting of 21 world leaders, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now, there's a guy who's just completely screwing democracy and freedom of speech. Chinese President Hu Jintao and U.S. President George W. Bush. All real good friends of freedom, huh? Real freedom of speech guys there. All three of them. Limited details were released apart from the planned closure of City Circle train station, St. James Museum and Circular Quay, which will be shut down for the 3 days from September 7th to September 9th. Mr. Howard said he was hopeful there would be no need to close the Sydney Harbour Bridge and that there would be minimal disruptions to the Cahill Expressway, which is a major thoroughfare heading to the city. The Daily Telegraph has been told further legislation will also be introduced to allow foreign government security agencies to carry weapons and enforce their own security arrangements on Australian soil, which has the potential to upset local authorities. Okay, this is something that is actually against Australian federal law. And so far, it's only been Israeli Secret Service that have been allowed to bring their own weapons in and carry them legally in Australia, which has been a bone of contention for a lot of people. So we could have U.S. Secret Service, Russian Secret Police, Chinese police, all with the ability to shoot to kill on Australian soil. Talk about signing your nation over. Oh my God. Oh my God. And in the chat it's being mentioned the Opera House could be, you know, the World Trade Center. The difference there though is the World Trade Center, if you kind of believe some versions of backstory of why certain things have happened, was that it was a financial hub. The Sydney Opera House is, you know, an artistic place. And I don't necessarily think it has the same kind of it's got a different significance, but however, all these leaders are going to be there for this thing. This, you know, I find this whole thing absolutely disgusting. Special permission has already been given to the U.S. Secret Service, whose presence and intimidating demeanor has led to a cool reception from Australian security officials on previous occasions. I'm not surprised. Details of other countries requesting similar dispensations have not been revealed. While Mr. Howard and Mr. Yema yesterday presented a united front on the APEC security arrangements, the Daily Telegraph understands that there is frustration between the two. The state government is being prevented by the federal government from releasing details on these no-go areas to the public. State government sources claimed they did not want a situation where people would be given only minutes or hours notice as to these areas, something they claim could create traffic chaos. And they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. Oh my God. Now, then there's the comments to this piece. Oh, some of these are just brilliant. The opening one is, I wonder what Canberra is for. This is an intolerable inconvenience to locals and tourists alike. I work at Cirque du Quai and don't know how I'm supposed to get there or what I will be able to do once there. What's this little tea party going to do for us, the taxpayer? Where's this? I'm looking. There's tons of these comments. I'm sorry. I'm looking for one in particular, and of course, you know, I really want you know, a computer version of a highlighter. You know. Another commenter says, do I want to get stuck in gridlock because a major road has suddenly, without warning, been closed for hours on the whim of one of these interlopers? Do I want to get trapped inside a train carriage for hours because trains have, without warning, been canceled for the same reason? Or get shot because I walk the streets of my city? Or evacuated from work and put in a lockdown for hours because one of these foreign interlopers has, on a whim, decided to go within a kilometer? Have my mobile jammed? And God help us if one of these blown-in VIPs decides to go to the football. The entire crowd who have paid their tickets will be booted out. And it won't be just 3 days. Any of these things could happen to you during the week, before and after. Do I like it? Do I support APEC being in Sydney? Count me as a no. And this is just a taste. Here's another one. We have a national capital. It's called Canberra. If this meeting is important enough to be held, surely it's important enough to be held in our capital city. Why is it designed to inconvenience the greatest number of people possible when we have a capital purpose-built for this sort of thing? It says, hi, if the SAS is on Sydney streets and are supposed to be the best in the world, why can't our SAS officers, along with other security agency, protect a group of world leaders without having to give up our sovereign right to the Americans or anyone else? They, the SAS, have been commended, and I reckon they can protect anyone just as well, if not better, than any of their guards. Why should any political leader from any country bring in their own armed guards, no matter what? Their own guards should be okay, but none of their guards should be armed on Australian soil, no matter what. They are on our home turf. We should stand behind our security agencies, no matter what. Would they allow our soldiers or security agencies to parade on their home turf with our armed guards to protect our prime minister? I do not think so. They should give us the respect we deserve and respect our laws, and not change our laws to suit them just for a period of 3 days because it suits them. What's next? You get the impression that Australia's over this ass-crack-licking conduct of Johnny Howard to George W. Bush. I'm sorry for the strong language and being a bit vulgar, but I mean, this is vulgar. You know, this is just absolutely vulgar. I just, you know, unbelievable. And on this particular article has 126 comments like this. And very, very few right-wing lunatics coming out going, y'all are a bunch of lefty wackos, conspiracy theorists, and why do you hate America? Wait a minute, this is Australia. Whoa, 51st state. Who the bloody hell knows what the hell's going on? Okay, say, that's one of two articles down, and boy, the comments in the next one get even better. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, the Australians are getting their dander up. And the next one has to do with Howard's popularity or the lack thereof. And it's very, very interesting. So stick around, folks. We got to take our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. John Fox filling in for the man while he's still doing his shift. And you're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We shall return right after this.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. As the U.S. Senate worked on Wednesday to iron out the details of immigration reform, organized labor remains opposed to a guest worker program for undocumented immigrants. The AFL-CIO believes such programs exploit immigrant workers and can act to depress wages and working conditions for other workers. Labor supports reform that includes a path to citizenship. And while individual unions differ in their approaches to immigration, they're nearly all in agreement that guest worker programs amount to second-class status for workers. The SEIU, for example, supports a path to citizenship, but is against a new guest worker program. Following a growing trend, the Tommy Hilfiger company has fired high-paid workers and replaced them with lower-paid workers. Jesse Russell reports.
On Tuesday, janitors contracted to clean the offices for Tommy Hilfiger company found that they had been fired and replaced. The workers, who make on average $19 per hour, were let go by the Hilfiger company in exchange for a contractor who pays employees $8 per hour for the same work. The Hilfiger company was acquired by private equity firm Apax Partners last year for $1.54 billion. Tommy Hilfiger will make $14.5 million a year until 2010 off of the deal. On top of his share of the company worth $66 million. Apax purchased the brand as it was on the decline and losing favor as a popular brand. The firing of the higher-paid workers in exchange for cheaper workers echoes a similar decision by Circuit City last month when the electronics retailer fired the top-earning 9% of their workforce in exchange for lower-paid new hires. Additionally, the move by Hilfiger as controlled by a private equity firm reflects concerns expressed by workers at Chrysler, a company that announced this week that it would be sold to private equity firm Cerebus.
The No Vacation Nation. That's the reputation the U.S. has in a world where nearly all rich industrialized countries guarantee workers paid vacation time. According to the Center for Economic Policy and Research, 28 million U.S. workers, or one in four, don't get any paid vacation time. European workers get a legally mandated minimum of at least 20 paid vacation days a year. On top of that, most rich countries provide between 5 and 13 paid official holidays by law for their workers. The U.S. is the only advanced economy that does not guarantee any paid vacations for workers.
Here is today's economic report. Who in the world whines most on the job? The French. A new study from FDS Research Group found that French workers complain the most about their jobs, followed by Britain, Sweden, and the United States. Countries found to have the lowest level of whining are the Netherlands, Thailand, and Ireland. The study found that despite a higher on average income level, more workers in the United States have issues with pay than workers in Thailand. The real wage level of U.S. workers is 8 times that of Thai workers.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show, and I hope you're getting something out of this, because, you know, it's the commentary that's coming out from the Australian public as recently that I'm just finding very, very interesting. Now, I'm going to go to this other thing, which is more generally about Howard and his government. Now, the Howard government has been running this kind of steamrolling economy, which has really been running on selling the store, you know, as in selling the national telephone carrier to the public and privatizing things and putting it in the coffers and cutting services and all this. But yet there's been these huge surpluses in the budgets every year. And this has played well, you know, in superficial terms. However, the luster has gone, I believe. And I've mentioned over the last couple of days how they've just released another one of these budgets where they really went for trying to buy votes. And they have not gotten any kind of a bounce out of the polls, and Labor has even increased their lead. Last check, they've got an 18-point lead over the Howard government if the election were held today. So, Sydney Morning Herald, which has turned really, really right-wing over the last year, they used to be a little bit, you know, they were always kind of right, but, you know, it kind of went all directions, but they've gone really, really right recently. Have this little blog post, and it's the comments that tell the story. And the headline is, "If these are the best times, why is Howard behind?" And Howard even referred to the polling as that the Australian public was actually just playing a big joke on him. They actually love him, but it's all that they're all just lying to the pollsters because they're playing a joke. Now that strikes of mad desperation to me. But it says, if these are the best of economic times, why is the coalition lagging so far behind Labor in the opinion polls? New figures indicate that tax cuts in the month's federal budget have catapulted consumer sentiment to its highest level in three decades. The job market is booming, the dollar is high, and it looks fairly certain that interest rates will stay steady for the rest of the year. But such great economic news has not translated to voter support swinging back to the government. Tell us why. The first comment is brilliance. And it says, the microeconomic news is really not that great when you look at the human face behind the statistics. Drill down on the detail. Question not just what has been achieved, but how it has been achieved. And look at the distribution of wealth and income. You cannot look at areas of the economy in isolation. And there are non-economic social factors which the electorate take into account as well. The official unemployment rate is down, but housing unaffordability is up. The federal election budget sweeteners are more than offset by the following. Nuclear reactors in yet undisclosed locations. Continuing refusal to ratify the Kyoto Protocol. The national ID card. Sound familiar? Work choices killing job security and working conditions. Dental waiting lists, continued outsourcing and offshoring of local jobs, de-skilling of workforce via casualization and temporary labor hire jobs, 25% hikes in higher education fees, removal of caps on full-fee uni places, reduced discount for voluntary higher education contributions. Now, this is an interesting one. They want to change this thing where, you know, state universities and government schools had to guarantee so many subsidized university places. Well, that is no longer. They can now take as many full-paying foreign students in as they want. They're trying to turn the universities into a who-can-pay-can-get-an-education system. Other things, high petrol prices. And also something that the Howard government has put in is a goods and services tax. Everything, including my invoices for my work get taxed 10%. So, and that's 10% that I have to charge the person that I charge, and I also then pay income tax on the remainder. So this is double taxation. This has not gone over. And it says GST on rising prices of groceries, petrol, and other goods and services, and you pay GST on everything. Abuses of the Senate majority and a lack of accountability and disclosure. Sound familiar? Threshold raised on disclosure of political donations, stifling of freedom of information requests. Sounding familiar, you folks there in the United States? Creation of market monopolies, like ABC Learning, which is the largest daycare center, and there's not enough places, and it's now becoming kind of like a bidding market for places for working families to get daycare. Billions wasted on propping up the Australian wheat board scandal and lack of strategy and exit plan in the Iraq war. Some other comments here. Someone says, because we know there is far more to life than just a good economy. What's the benefit of having a good economy when the government has slowly been ripping the heart and soul out of the country with its self-interested, compassionless policies? Johnny was right. The poll results do reflect our sense of humor. We do not find anything funny about Iraq, the Australian Wheat Board, George Bush, big business interests, Guantanamo, and the Mad Monk, etc. And the Mad Monk, that's... I won't even get into that. Another commenter says, it's an illusion. Some have benefited greatly, while most have lost some, or at least in fear of losing. Add them all up, divide by the number of people, and your average tells you we are all a lot better off. But personal experience tells me the normals are the losers. I work in construction. My family and friends work in IT, insurance, factories. So far, I have not seen... for myself, one person better off, and this is about the new work choices legislation. But we have seen plenty worse off. I know people that went from $22 an hour to $16.50 an hour. I know people who have lost $150 a week. I know of companies where Enterprise bargaining agreement, which was the old system, you know, it was group bargaining, has run out, and then the owner writes his own new one, lowers conditions and pay, asks for a silent vote. Nobody agrees, but when the owner counts up the votes, surprise, a majority voted yes. Last election on construction sites, at least 7 out of 10 people supported Howard. I'm not lying when I tell you, I would be hard-pressed to find 1 in 50 now. This is not the same as Latham and Beasley, the previous labor leaders. I promise you, if these IR laws were not changed, the polls right now would be reversed. And this is why, promising that the economy is great and reading about people getting reading about people getting $30 million bonus does not help us struggling with a mortgage and a tax cut that won't cover the GST on petrol in the real terms. The benefits are not real and tangible to 70% of the electorate, or maybe they are, and it's just they are so small in comparison to the top end, we feel we have been cheated, and we have. There will be no Tampa this time around. Tampa is the children throwing children overboard thing that I've told you about. Howard saying that these boat people threw their children overboard to demand rescue from the Australian Coast Guard, and this was an outright lie. And he did this right before an election and went, see, border security. And it was a lie. And all this has come out. However, I'm going to fast forward. Actually, we're going to take a break. And then I'm going to come back, and there's a comment towards the end. There's a couple more that I'm going to do here because they really, really kind of sum up what's how the Australian people are turning on this government, and it's just absolutely a beautiful thing to behold. So stick around, everybody. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Cup of Joe radio show on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice, and we will be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back. That's right. The rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. And it kind of gets difficult trying to round down to just reading a few more of these. We don't have that much time. But here's a great one. It says, gee, have you got a few hours for all of Howard's really, really bad points? One, he's a racist, and he likes to stick the boot to the Aborigines any chance he gets. Two, he's a warmonger who follows the Yanks wherever they want to steal some oil or kill some people for the hell of it. Examples, Afghanistan, Iraq, and soon Iran. Three, he's a monarchist who stymied Australia's opportunity to become a republic with his Clinton's Constitutional Convention bullshit. And that was a joke. There was a national vote on true independence, but they came up with two false choices. And so, of course, it failed. Four, he has lied as a matter of routine to the Australian electorate, and they are finally waking up to it. Five, voters have realized that Howard's bribes, or as he likes to call them, tax cuts, like everything else he does, is just a load of flim-flam from the flim-flammest man of all, John W. Howard.
He's only giving back what he took last budget. On top of that, the so-called employment boom is a fakery with rubbery figures manipulated by cheating by a cheating, lying government. And he then quotes the previous commenter, "What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the world and to lose your soul?" And from a commenter who goes by the moniker London Calling, "I don't think you can rule out the ballot box effect of the Iraq war. Here in the UK, it has taken only days for Gordon Brown to turn over policy. He's announced that Parliament should have a greater say in whether the UK goes to war. Apart from the age of the Howard government, and John Howard's personal profile as an arch conservative, perhaps, like the folks in the UK, simply time for a change." And the final comment here is just brilliance. And this is from Tony. It says, "Howard and Costello did not create the mining boom, but claim it's an claim its economic benefits. This is understandable and forgivable, but the following are not. This government has helped turn Iraq into a terrorist breeding project. They have no credibility on national security. Howard's repeated use of dog whistle statements to appeal to racism and prejudice in our society, children overboard, alienation of Australian Muslims, appeal to Hansenism," and that's Pauline Hanson, the greatest racist politician of all, "and this government is incapable of addressing the existential threat of climate change at a fundamental level. The last one is a big one. This is a threat to the future and well-being of my children." And there's another one here. "Although a conservative voter, I've been saving up a few beefs with this government and will probably vote Rudd this time. In particular, the overturning of the Northern Territories euthanasia legislation and Abbott's obvious delaying tactics with any measure that offends a particular religion. Yes, a majority of Labour policies voted the same way, Polly's voted the same way, but we will show our reps that legislating against majority opinion will be penalized." Telling you, Howard's blown it. And you know, I keep talking about work choices. Today, the Howard government has outlawed now any liberal politician, that's the conservatives here, remember, from using the term work choices anymore, because they now say that the unions have won the media fight over damaging the brand. The brand. Even, it's gotten, things have gotten so kind of hot about, especially the this industrial relations and work choices stuff, that there's a really, really cheeseball drama program that I don't watch. It's about some women who run a farm that are all way too model-esque looking to actually be working on a farm, called McLeod's Daughters. And they played out the Australian work agreement thing. Guy walks up to one of his employees in the shop and says, "Hey, I'm restructuring the business. You're fired. But the good news is I'm going to rehire you now as a manager, and you sign this piece of paper. You'll have more responsibility and less pay. Don't you feel good about that?" And it's actually made it to YouTube. I have to find that, and I will post that clip, because it's really, really good. And it's there was another commenter in this thread, and I mean, there's six pages of comments, where the one guy talks about, you know, all the stuff that's going to go on because of AIPAC, and says, "Well, you know what? Thanks for the extra paid holiday. It just means that I'll have the time off work to go down to the protests." I love it. But and Kevin Rudd is not a left Labour guy. He's pretty centrist. In fact, he's fairly what you could call right wing. But I think in general, you know, the thing with Kevin Rudd, that even though I might not agree with him on everything, he listens.
He's willing to have his opinions influenced by the actual people. He actually does go out and listen to people, take it on board, and you hear what Australian people tell him. And he's had to go up, he's been really having a tough time dealing with the mining sector because of some of the changes in industrial relations that he wants to make to bring back some fairness. But he's listening to them as well. But yet, Joe Hockey, who is the environment, the industrial relations minister for Howard, is a complete amateur, as I said before. And he got torn to shreds last night on Late Line. And, you know, he keeps saying, but we're listening to the Australian people. And it's like, well, if you're listening to the Australian people, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You're lying. And the guy is such an amateur politician that you can see he doesn't believe the filth that he's saying. You know, he looks like the kid who knows he's lying about stealing the candy from the candy jar in the kitchen. No, Mom, I didn't do it. With the big grin on his face. That's exactly what he looks like. And even the conservatives are saying, you know, get this guy away from the cameras. But the thing is that Howard's got no one else to carry water for him, especially on that particular portfolio. No one else wants to touch it. So he has to go and get some really, really new green guy who does not actually have the political savvy to even play it off. He's a joke. He's an absolute joke. And he's making Howard look bad. And actually, he's just making Howard look, you know, to be what he is, which is a lying, cheating, bigoted, warmongering, hateful, spiteful shyster. Oh, this has been fun. This has been so much fun. And I didn't actually get to post these links to Joe's blog today, but I'll try and do that before I go to bed after my show. So just real quick with the credits before we run out of time. Thank you to Agnes Kincaid for producing today. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. And the Cup of Joe show is supported by unreportednews.net. Go over there and unreportednews.net. Go over there. Some great stuff over there. And thanks to our mods and our bloggers for everything that they do. We love you, ninjas. And stick around, because after the news, we got Foxed Up, and I'm gonna try and the best I can explain to you what this whole solar geothermal concept is, and that there's an open source program out there for large scale and small scale solar geothermal based power generation, and this is really exciting stuff. So stick around, folks. It's going to be some really, really cool stuff. And hey, get back to work. Open a jar of Joan. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Retreat to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Damn, and make a meal of-
don't give me no more, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. Israel launched a rocket attack this morning, demolishing the Hamas security headquarters in Gaza City and wounding at least 40. Palestinians and Israelis have been trading rocket fire back and forth since the truce between factions Hamas and Fatah collapsed last weekend. Truces have been called between the two Palestinian factions, most fall apart within hours. The Jerusalem Post reports a 25-year-old Palestinian has been arrested for plotting to assassinate Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. The Palestinian physician is from the Gaza Strip and works for the humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders. Today is the 45th birthday of BBC reporter Alan Johnson. He was kidnapped by gunmen in the Gaza Strip 9 weeks ago and hasn't been heard from since. The World Bank meets again today behind closed doors to discuss the resignation of its president, Paul Wolfowitz. CNN reports Wolfowitz will step down perhaps as early as today, but he says he will not do so under a cloud of scandal. Diplomats from the U.S. and Iran will meet May 28th to discuss security in Iraq. The negotiations will take place in Baghdad. In Estonia, NATO cyber terrorism experts are attempting to help the small country shore up its cyber security following 3 weeks of massive, crippling cyber attacks on the websites of government offices, banks, businesses, and newspapers. It is thought to be the first time an entire country has been targeted. Polls have opened in Algeria. As many as 18 million Algerians will be voting in parliamentary elections. Diplomats in Europe and the U.S. are watching carefully. The resource-rich country is considered a key ally in the battle against Islamic extremism.